Legends, the greatest social casino experience has arrived at Legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at Legends.com. Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit Legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun.
I'm John Batchelor with Martin Wittig. His new book is American Vikings, How the Norse Sailed into the Lands and Imaginations of America. The books to depend upon are Eric the Red Saga in the 13th century and Saga of Greenlanders in the 14th century. And boy, are they dramatic. Martin, this is wonderful to speak of the drama presented. Men and women, a Lady Macbeth figure, you've mentioned her, Freydis, daughter of Eric the Red. And then the men come and go, but there are not enough women for them. More tension. They are looking, however, always for new lands. They're looking for timber that goes back to Greenland, because timber's in short supply in Greenland. And we come to a place that has been identified over these last two centuries as a possible outpost, a base for Eric, for Leif Erikson and his crew. Lons-en-Meadow. Where is that, Martin?
Okay, Lons-en-Meadow is in Newfoundland, in northern Newfoundland, and excavations there in the 1960s have revealed clear, definite proof of Norse presence in North America. Four complexes of halls and buildings were found there. Some iron working was going on there as well. The style of the buildings are clearly similar to those in Iceland, Greenland, and Norway. Wood was cut by metal axes, which are clearly European axes of a type that was not used by Native Americans. Some of the very small number of personal finds there, striker lights and some jewelry, clearly point to Norse origins. And as recently as 2021, dendrochronological research there showed that wood was cut there in the year 1021. So exactly 1,000 years after the wood was cut in 1021, we were able to date it to that year. We know that in 1021 and before that probably as well, and probably for a little time afterwards, there were Vikings, there were Norse at Lons-en-Meadow in northern Newfoundland, but it wasn't Vinland. They must have gone further on from that because we find some wood there that's not native to Newfoundland. We find white walnuts, butternuts found there, which do not grow in Newfoundland, which means they must have gone further to the south. And that takes us to the search for the elusive Vinland, which could be significantly down the eastern coast of Canada and the modern USA.
For those in Newfoundland, this is 16 miles north of St. Anthony today. And Lons-en-Meadow is not a settlement. It's a base camp, if I follow correctly. It's about 100 meters from the shore that was then in place. And the remains are highly suggestive. First, you've mentioned the wood. The wood can be dated, this is wonderful, from a cosmic ray event, 993 AD. I mean, how fabulous is that, Martin? And we also have seeds and chips and nails and the remains. But the estimate is they only stayed there 10 years now. There's also the possibility that Norsemen from Iceland and Greenland were returning for the next century. Did I read that correctly? Come and go, come
yes.
and go.
Yes, that's correct. We have a reference from Icelandic sources that talk about a man called Bishop Knutsson, who sailed to Greenland and then sailed to Vinland. And we don't know more, but it's dated in about 1121, 1122. So there is a continued memory of Vinland that goes on from that. In addition to that, we have Icelandic sources that date from the 14th century that talk about people that landed on the shores of Iceland and they come from Markland, one of those places mentioned in the sagas, probably the Labrador. We then see semi-mythological sagas that talk about giants and monsters and adventures happening in Helluland's deserts. So we're talking about places like Baffin Island. So the memory of Vinland continues to echo through the Middle Ages on Iceland, even though the original settlement seems to have died out during the 11th century. It was not forgotten. The memory went on and other voyages seem to have occurred, about which we know very little, but it's something that we cannot dismiss as a possibility: continued voyages to Vinland after those that are recorded in the two famous sagas.
Yes, and again, the fox grape. No seeds from fox grape have been found at this site. The fox grape is speculation. But where does the fox grape grow? If that's the grape, where is it?
We're talking about, from my understanding, northern New Brunswick down into New England. So it is really possible they might have sailed as far as Maine. They could have sailed as far as Massachusetts. They could have sailed as far as Connecticut. Now, at the moment, we do not have strong archaeological evidence for that, but we have these tantalizing clues that show they sailed much further south than Newfoundland. So the search is on for evidence for these Viking settlers on the eastern seaboard of Canada, but also on the eastern seaboard of the United States. We've not got it yet, but it may yet be there, because Launceau Meadows is a signpost that points further south.
Let's go to Launceau Meadows. What is there? What are we looking for? This is a base camp. It's not a settlement for people to have families, although there is a child born there, Snorer. Now, there are eight wood-framed buildings, and there's evidence of a forge. So it was set up as a base camp. Does this look like a military operation, or what we would call a military operation? Are there individual homes, or did they all live in one long house? What was the thinking?
There's a series of longhouses in these four complexes, three complexes particularly, surrounded by other buildings that seem to be the homes of people who are lower down the social scale than the elite chieftains, as it were. But it looks like it's a logistical support base where people put in, repair ships, and then move on. There's no evidence for children there archaeologically. There's very, very little evidence for women there archaeologically. So we're probably best to imagine it as primarily male, some women, as a base camp for exploration further on. So I think that it should not be regarded as being Vinland. It was a base camp which supported further exploration into land that was Vinland, which undoubtedly is in further into the North American continent and down the eastern seaboard of the USA. Now, the archaeological evidence is very, very thin. We don't have much evidence from there. There has been some analysis of the carbon dating evidence there that suggests that they may have been there for longer than we thought at one point. But because the archaeological evidence is so thin, it's not a proper homestead. It's not a proper village. It's not a proper settlement. It seems to be a base camp to replenish, to do some repairing, to resting before striking on further. And it's striking on further that would have taken them into Vinland itself.
There are Native Americans, indigenous people, and it's not clear what tribe, if any. There's reason to believe it's older Inuit. Today, this would be all Inuit land. There's also conflict with the indigenous people, although there's trade with the indigenous people. So it was a moving story over the period of time they were there, perhaps 20 years. There's reason to believe that Leif Erikson died somewhere in the early 20s, 1021, which is about time we have that dating from the tree rings. So the natives who were there, the indigenous people, did the Vikings, did the Norsemen deal well with them as guides? Did they intermarry? What do we know?
The interaction is complicated. Clearly, the Norse met Native American First Nations people who may have been proto-Inuit or may have been very early in this particular area, Native American tribes, First Nation tribes, and there's lots of speculation as to exactly which people they were. But they clearly were indigenous people. There is trading mentioned in the sagas, and we have evidence from the Canadian Arctic and subarctic for items that turn up there on proto-Inuit sites, which suggests there is a lot of Norse trading going on, which is not represented in the literary sources, so much more than the sagas tell us. But there is also conflict. There is fighting, there is conflict, there are deaths, and it clearly emerges that this settlement is too far extended. It is too small to cope with conflict with people in the New World. The evidence seems to suggest that the violence is primarily started by the Norse themselves, who come into conflict with these Native American peoples. But it is complicated because clearly there is trading going on at the same time. But it gets increasingly marked by violence. We see unprovoked killings of Native Americans when they discover them on a beach, for example, which leads to retaliation. Not surprisingly, we see the kidnapping and baptizing of children in one particular area where they come upon them on the shoreline. So there is a conflicted relationship with indigenous peoples as well as trading. And it's quite clear there are not enough Norse to conquer this land by any means. And increasingly, there's not enough to colonize it either, particularly given the small size of the Greenland population in the face of resistance to their arrival.
And there's also a Lady Macbeth named Freydis, who's the daughter of Eric the Red, I believe.
Oh, sure. Yes, Eric the Red's daughter, right. Is Freydis. Freydis, Eric's daughter. And she comes across in the Star Sagas as a really, really dangerous person. We see her, for example, fomenting problems and conflict between groups on one of the expeditions that she's part of. There are two particular groups in this expedition. She says, we've got the right to use these houses that have been left here in the New World by my father. You haven't got the right, so they have to go elsewhere. The sagas then say that she foments conflict between the two groups. So she comes across as a very, very dangerous character, which results in the killing of the men of these other groups after she tells her her group that she's been ill-treated by them. The evidence suggests that she made this up. And when the men are reluctant to kill the women who are members of the other group, Freydis takes an axe and kills them herself. So if this is based on a real event, we have an extraordinary and shocking homicidal person in the form of Freydis, Eric's daughter. And when they go back to Iceland, to Greenland, she says, if anybody tells what happened, I'll have them killed as well. But in the end, the story comes out and her brother, Leif Erik's son, decides he can't take action against her because she's his sister. But certainly the homicidal activities of Freydis, as recorded by the sagas, if they are correct, are really chilling.
Yes, this is a plot that Agatha Christie needs to handle for us in heaven. American Vikings. Martin Wittig is the author. I'm John Batchelor. I'm John Batchelor with Martin Wittig. The book is American Vikings. We have L'Anse en Meadow. That's established. You can visit it. There are remains of the camp. We have very little else that stands up, however. But there's been a lot of effort over the last few centuries. Martin, I enjoy these episodes because I'd always heard there were other places that the Vikings traveled to. We're looking for them, I understand. There continue to be, however, rune carvings in rocks, Minnesota, Nova Scotia, Maine, and on. I believe there's one. There's one as far south as Massachusetts. Oh, there's one in Rhode Island. What do we know about these carvings, these runes, and what they claim to be?
Chances are you've been to the doctor recently, and you probably handed over your insurance, your ID, and even your social security number. Your doctor is just one of many places that has your personal info. And if any of them accidentally expose your details, you could be at risk for identity theft. LifeLock monitors millions of data points a second. If you become a victim, they'll fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to lifelock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
This Labor Day, say goodbye to spills, stains, and overpriced furniture with WashableSofas.com. Featuring Anabay, the only machine washable sofa inside and out, where designer quality meets budget-friendly pricing. Sofas start at just $6.99, making it the perfect time to upgrade your space. Anabay's pet-friendly, stain-resistant, and interchangeable slipcovers are made with high-performance fabric built for real life. You'll love the cloud-like comfort of hypoallergenic, high-resilience foam that never needs fluffing, and a durable steel frame that stands the test of time. With modular pieces, you can rearrange anytime. It's a sofa that adapts to your life. Now through Labor Day, get up to 60% off site-wide at WashableSofas.com. Every order comes with a 30-day satisfaction guarantee. If you're not in love, send it back for a full refund. No return shipping, no restocking fees, every penny back. Shop now at WashableSofas.com. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.